If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
You just found the most downloaded fitness, health, and entertainment podcast. This is Mind Pump. Right in today's episode, we answered live callers' questions. So people called in, we got to help them out on air. But this was after a 61-minute intro portion. This is where we talk about fitness, current events, family life, and we basically just have a lot of fun. By the way, you can check the show notes for timestamps if you want to skip around to your favorite parts. Also, if you want to be on an episode like this one where we can help you out, email us at live@mindpumpmedia.com. Now, this episode is brought to you by some sponsors. The first one, LMNT. This is an electrolyte powder with no artificial sweeteners, no sugar, and it has the right amount of sodium to fuel athletes, and it's especially beneficial to those of you that have a whole food diet. So if you have just a whole food diet, you work out a lot, adding some sodium and a good electrolyte powder will probably improve your performance. Anyway, go check them out. They're offering our listeners a free sample pack with any order. Go to drinklmnt.com/mindpump. This episode is also brought to you by Organifi. They make organic supplements for fitness and health. Today's episode, we talked about their green juice and immunity juice, both great products. We use them pretty regularly. Go check them out. Get yourself 20% off. Go to Organifi.com. That's Organifi.com/mindpump. Use the code mindpump. Get 20% off. Also, this month's workout program sale, MAPS Anywhere, 50% off. And MAPS HIIT, also 50% off. If you're interested, go to MAPSFitnessProducts.com and then use the code April50 for that discount. All right, here comes the show. If you want to lose weight, if you want to get in shape, if you want to get fit, and you want to make sure that it happens and that you can maintain it. In other words, you want the best odds. Nothing is more effective than hiring a good guide, a good coach, a good trainer. By the way, this is true for any personal growth. If you want to move in a direction where your life changes, having a mentor or a guide is your best bet. Across the board, right?
Yeah. What if you know everything, though?
Yeah, that's a big problem.
It's tough.
If you think you know everything,
I think this was the greatest challenge we had when we were writing programs, knowing this.
Oh, yeah.
It was knowing that, you know, we're going to go out and create these programs for the masses, but deep down knowing that no matter how good, how much time we spend on thinking of all the possibilities, the variables.
We're not going to compete with that.
You can't compete with... Now, thank God we have the podcast to complement the program. So most of the audience that follows the programs also hears our advice. And so it's kind of like having a coach through it, but it's not the same. It's not the same as having me standing there in front of you, having a plan for us to do something today. And then I watch the way you move. I can tell the way your posture is when you first walk in. I can ask you questions like, how did you sleep last night? How did you eat yesterday? Yep. What's going on? And then go, oh, okay, I need to make a pivot.
Look, it's like, think back to when you were a kid, right? I mean, we all took the classes that were required, you know, math, English, history, whatever. And there's that one teacher, right? Everybody can think of that one teacher that just, not only did they stand out, but they made you love learning something that you didn't know you had a love for. That was the teacher, right? That was the guide. That's what a good trainer will do. A good trainer doesn't just know exercises and form and technique. They don't just know how to change those exercises or your form and technique based on how you move. They don't just know diet or how to change it based off of you. They know a good coach or trainer knows how to guide you in an effective way. And that is so different from person to person that it took me. I loved being a trainer. I knew I wanted to be a trainer and work in fitness at a very young age. Like, it was a passion of mine. I mean, I'm going to be quite honest with you. It took me a decade to get good at being a trainer because it's so nuanced. There's so much individual variance. It took me, I mean, before that, I knew exercise and diet and stuff like that, but it took me a decade to get effective at getting people to make these changes and then keep these changes for the rest of their life. So that's how hard it is. But when you find someone like that, like, there's no program that we could create that would ever compete.
Yeah. Well, once you graduated past like just giving them a plan and educating them and kind of having that in front of them and just peering more into their behaviors and trying to really dig into that from the very beginning and find out what those buttons are that kind of motivate them or, you know, might cause a setback. Like you get to understand how they interact on a daily basis, mm-hmm. You just become so much more effective, like immediately.
It's so funny you went this direction because we just got back from the coaching con, and this was one of the things that I was expressing to so many of these great coaches and trainers that are like, and so inspiring seeing some of them and the traction they've made already in their first couple of years of being a trainer. But like me having to remind them, like, hey, calm down, dude. You're on year two right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
Like you guys see the success of the business, but what you don't realize is that a majority of that success is not the, oh, we figured out podcasting or we understood sales funnels or we built this great website. It's like, no, it had nothing to do. What it really had everything to do with was the 15 plus years that led into that.
I was almost two decades deep into fitness before yes, I started the podcast.
I said, so yeah. You guys are doing so good already. You got to be patient. Now, granted, they're probably going to be a lot better than I was a lot sooner because we were like figuring it out for ourselves yeah. in the trenches, learning through trial and error and yep. just repetition through clients. Hopefully we've provided and created enough good, solid content, especially now with the coaching program to help accelerate that growth. But you got to be patient. Some of this stuff just takes time. It takes time yep. to see the same kind of problems continue to reoccur with your clients to know like, oh, okay, I know what to do. And then the next level to that is how do you learn to forecast it before they even
that's
hit those
the
things?
I was waiting to say that. Like when you can forecast to somebody, here's what you're going to notice at this point. And right. here's what the challenges you're going to run into. And here's probably what's going to happen. And here's what we're going to do. And then they experience it. You've earned so much trust. And the person goes, okay, I see that you know what you're talking about. And this isn't.
And to have the confidence, Sal, to let that, like, allow the client. Because here's a mistake that, like, yeah. earlier trainers make. You get all the knowledge and you know that that's the wrong way, this is the right way. And part of the art of being able to coach people is to, when you first meet somebody, if you're combative and you argue with them or you tell them how wrong they are, like, they're going to put a wall up or they're going to bounce on you. So there's this, like, this delicate dance that you have to do with a client of, like, kind of nodding your head when you know that's not going to fucking work.
Yeah.
You know, so like, okay, yeah, we can do that. Okay. Yeah. And then knowing like, okay, this now I know what to be prepared for because I want them to relax, let their guard down, you know, build that trust with each other. I haven't earned that trust yet. So then, nod my head, yes. And they go, okay, well, you know, here's some of the things that we might run into, you know, and you start laying out all yeah. the stuff and then you let it unfold and like, shit, that's exactly what you said was going
to
happen.
Well, what's your goal, right? Is your goal to be right? Or is your goal to help get this person to long-lasting, sustainable progress, yes. results, have a good relationship with fitness and nutrition? If your goal is to win or to be right in terms of you arguing with them, well then, okay, go argue with them, tell them how wrong they are, but you're not going to succeed at what your real goal is.
You're not going to get buy-in, yeah.
No, man. I mean, I tell that one story so many times because hopefully this woman listens to the podcast and hears how bad I feel, but I blew someone out once. Because I was right. I was right. She was wrong. She wasn't telling me the truth, whatever. And she left. She never came back. And within a few days, I'm like, what have I done? Like, yeah, I told her the truth and she figured out that I was right and whatever. But gosh, I hope.
Did I turn her off?
Forever? Not only turn her off, I hope she might have never tried again.
Yeah.
Because I made her feel so bad. And what have I done? Like, did I succeed in anything except for making my ego and my pride feel better? So yeah, if your goal is to get that person to figure this out. First off, it takes a while for the most part. Very rarely do you get that client who just kind of figures it out and falls into it. That's like the perfect student. Very rare. Mm-hmm. Usually it takes a while. Sometimes it takes way longer than you anticipate. I mean, I remember one guy I trained, you know, and he was consistent with me. It took us over 3 years to lose 30 pounds, but it wasn't he didn't lose the 30 pounds in 3 year period. He lost it in the last like 4 months. So it was like over 2.5 years of nothing. And then it finally clicked at the end. By the way, he never gained it back. I'm still friends with him, right? This is at least 10 years ago. So that's what you're dealing with when you're a coach or trainer. Now, if someone's listening and they're disheartened, here's the deal. Your odds without a good coach or trainer are almost 0%. That's just the data. The data will show you that when you go do this on your own, you try and figure this out, the fail rate is through the roof. You know, luckily if you have like one of the reasons why we do so many podcasts every week is we know that there's people who are on this journey and we're like, okay, if we can be in their ear
right.
often, that is going to be at least what it's like to be with a coach, to kind of hear these things being communicated and help keep those people moving in the right direction. But nothing will ever replace
working with that, coach. You got to share the. So when I was in Utah, I had Jerry with me, and so she was still working and stuff with that. And she's like, "Oh, look, I just got this great email," and she read this email to me. I want Doug to read it to you guys because it's along these lines of us coaching people through the podcast. And do you have it, Doug?
Yeah, I do. Actually, it's posted right here. Okay. His name is Kyle Saliba. I hope he doesn't mind being shouted out on the show.
Well, he was live, right?
He was live. Okay, yeah. So he goes, "I was on the show a while ago in mid-November relating to my low testosterone, which concerned me, especially since I'm only 20 years old. Just wanted to send a check-in as Adam requested I did on the call. Thanks to your advice, I got my vitamin D tested and it did indeed come back deficient. I implemented all your advice and did MAPS Anabolic and had my testosterone checked again recently. My testosterone numbers have doubled since the call, and I'm now in a healthy place. Wow. I can't thank you guys enough."
Yeah, that's phenomenal.
So great. Awesome.
That's excellent. But, you know, I don't remember. I think I kind of remember that, in fact. I remember he was a young kid.
20 years old.
I remember that.
Low testosterone.
I think I remember him. Mm-hmm.
I think he originally was asking if he should get on hormone therapy.
That's right.
And we told him to do this first before he did something like that.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then so that's why it's such a, and I mean, again, for all the other younger, because it's wild that we have this conversation for 20 year olds now, but it's becoming super popular. I remember when we first started working with the hormone companies, and that was like the most common DMs that I got were these 20 to 25 year olds that were coming back with low testosterone. And the answer is to not jump on to synthetic testosterone right away. The answer is first to check all these boxes before you, because at under 30, you shouldn't have to do that.
No.
If you're under 30 years old,
still young and resilient.
Yeah, you should not have to use hormone therapy. Now, of course, there's always exceptions to the rule. So I know it's a bit of an overgeneralization, but for the most part, if you are under the age of 30, it's typically too soon to jump right to hormone therapy.
It's usually nutrient deficiency and or lifestyle factors. Mm-hmm. And lifestyle for guys in their 20s now is radically different than what it was a few decades ago. Way less active, less sunlight.
Yeah, less deep sleep.
No strength training. Sleep is all being affected. Diet is has changed radically over the last few decades. And there's probably some environmental factors too. But I mean, Double the testosterone. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That's incredible. By the way, I got at the coaching event, I had a few trainers approach me and say that they did our 3-day free training. And one of them came up to me and
doubled
goes,
sales.
Doubled sales.
Yeah. Yeah. I heard all
doubled sales. Yeah. Like, I've doubled my sales since watching you guys teach how to present myself properly and how to present packages of training and stuff like that. So
yeah. That watching that community grow right now has been fantastic. Yeah. And, mm-hmm. I did get a chance to talk to a few that weren't in there. And a lot of them was because they had just invested in the coaching con and some other things. And they didn't know that we have a payment option. We go monthly on that. So it's not a huge burden. And I said, listen,
or just do the free 3-day.
Well, I mean,
too.
Bare minimum, do the free training. That's why we put it out there. But if you invest in the actual coaching program, there's monthly payments on it. And so far, what we've done is almost everybody I know that's been inside that thing has seen an increase in their revenue that's significantly greater than the investment it was
monthly. Just scratches the surface. Yeah. I mean, yeah, we just like put that out there because that's like the immediates. Like, I can apply this right now to my business and I could see a return. Well, there's just so much more you can do.
People watching and listening, it's mindpumptrainercourse.com, right, Doug? Did I get that right?
That's correct.
Right, I got to tell you guys about something funny too, by the way. My 3-year-old, about my son. By the way, I had the worst sleep of my life over the weekend, which I'll tell you guys in a second.
Bro, man, I feel like it's getting worse and worse. Bro, every time you talk about
how many times this lately. I have 4 kids, okay? Yeah. This was the worst night I've ever experienced in my entire life. I'll tell you guys in a second. But
oh my God.
He goes up to Jessica and he goes, "Mama, I got to tell you something. Papa, he took me upstairs and he did something really funny." She's like, "What do you do?" And he goes, "He shaved the beard off his armpits." He came up to me. I was hanging out with him.
Armpit beard.
Yeah, and I was like, so I'm like just trimming my, underneath. And he's like, "Oh, you're shaving your beard?" And I'm like, that's just armpit hair. Speaking of which, he was laying out in the sun and he was looking down. And I guess he saw a little peach fuzz on his chest. You know? Uh-huh. And he goes, Mom. He goes, "Papa said I'd have to wait a long time to have a beard, but I already have one. Look." She's looking at him. Little peach fuzz on his body.
Nice. I saw the video of him doing push-ups this morning by himself.
Hey, what is going on?
That was awesome.
I don't talk about working out.
He's all
out
by himself over there just doing these push-ups.
On his own in the playroom.
Yeah, that's
she
cool.
saw him and she started filming him.
That's
cool. He's just doing, he's trying to do exercise. And he invented some and then one is push-ups because he must have seen us doing push-ups at one point. But anyway, let me tell you guys about this night of sleep that was just devastating, dude. So we were traveling, which always messes with my sleep, and flying just kind of messes me up in general.
Especially that way. Florida back as well.
Oh, just it was just, I went Florida, was
a beast.
I went Florida, Texas, Texas back home. I had to wake up super early to get back, and it was just really just, it doesn't feel good, right? In that, during that period of time, though, my kids were starting to get sick. So my daughter was giving Jessica some trouble. So she was having some poor sleep. So we're leading into this incredibly horrible night of sleep. Both of us are already kind of tired.
Oh, okay? God.
So I get home. I'm like, you know, I'm taking
over. You guys are still married?
Hey, you know what? I'm going to tell you, dude, sanctifying.
Yeah.
I know what that means now. The term sanctifying means when you go through challenge and it brings you guys closer.
Oh, good.
Not apart. Good. And so actually, the good news with this is that we went through the toughest, which I'll tell you guys, night ever. And the next day, we're both exhausted, dead, completely just out of it. Moments of laughter, being with the kids, you know, hugging each other, even while it was happening. So anyway, we go to bed, and right away, we went to bed at 10, midnight or so, the baby wakes up, and the only way she stopped crying is if Jessica held her while either standing or sitting up. That was it. She couldn't lay down with her. I couldn't take her. She'd freak out. Just mom, and mom has to sit up, okay? So that's happening, and it's just all night. So we're like, oh, this is terrible. So I'm staying up with Jessica because I realize how isolating it is if you're up with your baby by yourself and you're just exhausted. So I'm going to stay up and just give her support, right? So I'm there. Meanwhile, my son wakes up for some reason in his room. So I run downstairs, try to put him down, put him to sleep, come back upstairs. He wakes up again, go downstairs. 4 a.m., the baby finally falls asleep. So from midnight or so to 4 a.m., she was up, both of us up. And I went up and down the stairs two or three times. 4 a.m., finally falls asleep. I go downstairs because I'm like, okay, if my son wakes up again, then I got to be down here because otherwise he'll come up and wake up the baby too or whatever. So I go downstairs and he wakes up at 5:15. That was it. So I probably had a grand, maybe 3 hours of sleep in one night.
Ugh.
The whole night, just back and forth, God. And totally brutal. It was devastating. But I took some pictures of Jessica while she was holding the baby so I could show her. It was really sweet. It's like, you know, we had the iPad at one point. Jessica's trying to sleep while sitting up while the baby's, you know, doing her thing. And but it also brought us together, man, which is pretty cool.
So let me ask you, because I know you're also working on this exercise relationship that you got going on too. Did you still work out?
Did I still work out?
Or did you take it off?
No.
You took it off?
Yeah.
Oh, dude. Good for you. Because actually, normally, your psycho ass would still have worked out.
No way, man.
Because I feel like that's like a situation right there where the right thing is to let your body rest and not do it. The addictive part is that I would go work out still because I say I need it.
Bro, I was dead. There was no way.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, there was
good for you. I think that's growth there too. I think that's an area that you
Or else physically unable. Let me think about it. No, I thought about it and I didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, no way.
Yeah, I think that's an example of that there. Of old you still would probably go and get that training and tell yourself that you absolutely have to.
It's brutal. I tell you what, man, the sleep with kids, because here's the problem. Because then we're on a family thread, right? And I have a family member that doesn't have any kids or anything. People with kids, whenever someone without kids makes a comment, there's always a part of you that your ego kind of like goes, shut up, you know, because I'm like, oh, it's terrible, no sleep or whatever. And this person goes in there and goes, yeah, you know, those are the worst nights. You know, and I'm like, you don't got no kids. You don't know what the hell you're talking about. Because when you lose sleep and you don't have kids, you always have the next day. Yeah. You can always sleep in the next day.
Yeah, yeah.
Kids don't sleep in.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't sleep in. The next day is...
I actually think that has a lot to do. I mean, obviously, age plays a massive role and stuff like that too. But there is something to say about the psychological part when you were younger, single, and no kids. Of like when you know you were pushing the limits, but you knew that like, I'll get it all back on Saturday.
Yeah.
Or tomorrow I won't get up till noon.
Yeah. Like, so you
compare, versus when you're an older guy, you're a dad now, you got four kids and you're going, where am I going to recover this?
No, you can't.
Like, you're like,
it's gone forever.
It's gone forever. A piece of me is gone forever. I'm going to go back a year in life. Dude. Right.
No, you lost it forever, man. I was like, so I see that text, you know, that come through. Oh yeah. Those are the worst. And right away I would be like, you don't know. Why? Cause your dog kept you up one night.
Yeah. I mean, until the teenagers, then they'll sleep till noon. You're
like, isn't that weird too? Yeah. What is that? Do you know what is there a physiological reason why teenagers go through this part of their life where all of a sudden you sleep? And I remember
some
that too.
Developmental thing. thing.
Brain,
yeah, for sure.
It's a brain. So it's a brain thing. Yeah, not a muscle.
The group of people that require the most sleep are teenage girls. So teenage girls actually require something like 10 hours of sleep versus the average person. So teen girls, and I know because my daughter could do this, teen girls can sleep a lot, and they need to for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty crazy. You know who requires the least amount of sleep as you get older?
Older.
I know.
It goes down. That's what I mean. The young. So if I recall seeing this chart, it's when you're very, very young, it's super high, right?
The amount. Taking naps all day.
And then you kind of plateau a little bit, and then you spike at like teenage years, and then it's a gradual drop all the way down for the rest of your life. Yeah. Just less and less and less and less sleep is needed as you get older.
It's all about the brain development and pruning and all that stuff.
Yeah, I've always wondered why it makes sense when you're young, because your body's growing and you need all this.
I remember. Do you guys remember that when you were a teenager and you could just sleep until like noon?
I could sleep especially for 12, 14 hours.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. You could grind and not sleep for a day or two doing something, because I would do things like that where I go like, yeah, it's okay though. Saturday, I got nothing. I'll just fucking sleep all day. Yeah. And you could lay in bed till 4 o'clock.
I couldn't. That's the other thing too. I mean, I could kind of sleep in now, but sleeping in for me would be like an hour past when I wake up.
My hips start to hurt. Yeah. Like on the side, I'm like, it always wakes me up. Now.
Hey, hold on.
Makes me angry.
How many pillows do you use when you go to sleep now?
Bro, I have like five. I swear to God, like, at least four, dude, because I have one on the face and I got one, I'm hugging, and then I got two, you know.
So you do that at home,
my
too.
Head up, I was so my ass reflux doesn't get all crazy.
We always stay in the same room, right? So I adjust, and I was meant
Is
to
he
ask
just
you that.
Covered in pillows?
Yeah, he's always got like two pillows over his face like this. And
it's
a
like
wall,
a fortress.
A wall. He has a wall on one side. It's
he's got two between
pregnant
his legs.
Lady with one between his legs. He's got all of his
really
legs.
Also, it's protection, you know, in case Adam wakes up in the middle of the night.
There's no way I'm getting in, dude. He's getting in this fortress going on there.
Hey, you should get one of those pregnancy pillows, bro. The big long ones.
Body pillows.
Yeah, I've seen those. I don't know. That's a whole nother level right there.
What do you mean? You already got four or five pillows. Just get a big ass.
Once I do that, it's like, one. I mean,
you've surrendered by then.
Yeah,
surrendered.
Yeah, exactly. You're fully committed to that.
All in.
We should buy one for him. But have you seen those pillows? They're like these huge body pillows, but they're like anime characters. Weird dudes that like to sleep with
have like a face on it. Yeah.
Oh, God. What's wrong with people? Know. Hey, I was going to ask you this. So, you know what Justin told me while we were gone? Okay. Mm-hmm. So, the audience knows because it was on the show. He almost cut his finger off. He did cut a big ass chunk of his finger off.
I did. It was a big
chunk.
Bro,
within a few days, it's completely healed.
I would say like maybe like 2 weeks, but yeah.
Are you on BBC right now?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah. And we did the stem cell treatment, so I don't know. I'm like, I don't know. I feel like a lizard. I'm going to be honest. Like maybe I'm a lizard person, and I've been like, radar.
You didn't know about it?
Yeah, because I'm one of them. Yeah, I don't know. But like, seriously, and people asked me at the NCI event about the finger because the episode dropped, and it was like, I'm embarrassed. It's like all the way healed.
It's like a little scratch. Yeah. It's like, oh, let me see your finger.
He's
like,
look at it.
See it right there? Look,
yeah. It's like all scar tissue.
Like, wow, you made that big of a deal over there, huh?
Layers grew back all the way to where it doesn't even have like a dent like it did before, to where I had like a chunk like out of my finger.
So I'm on BPC also, and I cut my finger. Doug was there when I cut my finger, and it's almost completely healed. That was only a few days ago.
Yeah.
So I didn't notice that, but I think you're right.
Oh, okay. That's right. I do remember.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that seems to be, of all the peptides, that's the one that has the most research, the most positive feedback of what it's doing.
Well, that's the one Dr. Seed said he would recommend the most.
Remember, I mean, every doctor, every person that I've talked to has said that BPC-157 has the most like backed, you know, research around what it's doing for people, and it's been insane. And I experienced that with my Achilles. It was scary how it felt. It was.
I remember you were worried to go test it.
Yeah, because it was like there's the way I knew it just had felt like weeks prior.
Uh huh.
To make that big of a leap when I had been dealing with that injury for such a long period of time was like, this is kind of
speaking of which.
So is this, okay, just on the BPC front, like, is that what they've found is the biggest impact is like tissue healing?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Yes. Yeah. Across the board.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Blood vessel healing, tissue healing. And it's got some.
Yeah. Because this is insane.
It's actually got, so I never talked about this, but BPC also in animal studies has been shown to reverse the damage caused by, drugs that influence the dopamine system of the brain. So they'll give methamphetamines.
Oh, interesting.
They'll give methamphetamines to rats and mice. Which, by the way, what a mouse.
That's such a fun experiment.
Yeah, we do some drugs. But it causes certain structural damage. And then they give the mice or rats BPC and it heals the brain. This is good for people, by the way, who take stimulants for ADD or ADHD because it does impact your reward system.
Hmm.
So there may be some. There may be something.
I didn't know that.
Anyway, speaking of peptides, so I got to be careful how much I say, because I don't want to say too much about this person. Otherwise, people might know who he is. But I know somebody who is a very, he's like a Silicon Valley.
Billionaire, you said.
Person. Yes.
Okay, I can't say that.
Yeah, I guess you can. No, you can.
It's like, whoops.
And he's using, I think, tirzepatide. I think it's tirzepatide or semaglutide. It's one of the GLP ones.
Okay.
He's not using it for weight loss. He's using it for sexual addiction. He's using it for addiction. So there are people right now who are using GLP-1s, not for just to lose weight, but rather to help them with impulsive behaviors, which we talked about on previous episodes.
Yeah.
Which is wild.
Wow. So I just said week four, so I'm on 1 month.
So it's still, what do you think? Wild.
It's fucking tripping me out. So yesterday was, so I'm, so I started this at 231. I weighed this morning at 215.
Oh my gosh. That's a lot, dude.
Yeah. Now, again, I'm still, you hear me still kind of coughing a little bit. I have not had 2 full weeks of complete health. And so I want to be able to report back.
That'll make you lose weight too.
Yeah. And also too, I'm trying to read how I feel and signals and, you know, appetite and all those things like that. Like those are affected by my, you know, how I feel too. Mm-hmm. And my sleep's not the greatest because of all these things. So there's some variables I want to get leveled out so I can really continue to report what's going on. But the, what has definitely been consistent that is interesting is day six is if there's ever a time where I think about something that I would have, like an ice cream candy or a treat or something outside of like really whole food, healthy foods, it happens day six, late afternoon to evening. So before, so last night.
Because it's once a week.
Yeah, it's a once a week injection. So you can totally tell. And it also makes sense why you're supposed to kind of keep going up as you go to week four, which by the way, I'm not going to do. We're going to keep that. I want to let you know that.
You're going to stay on the low dose.
I'm going to stay on the low dose.
Yeah, because I was going to say,
because it's crushing the appetite more than I would like anyways in the first place. So
you literally did a full day where you didn't eat anything. And we just realized that. I was like, oh my God, you didn't even eat like
all day.
Yeah.
All day. Didn't even, because we were so busy and stuff like that. I actually had a protein bar. That's all I had that day. That was the total amount of calories I had and felt fine. Didn't have like the, and then the next day when, so that's happened in my life, right? Where you just get so busy, right? Yeah. And you don't think of food. But then the next day, the body goes, oh, I need it. And then again, another day. So that's been crazy, right? Huh. And so last night, so I had like this little like, oh, and we've had this ice cream in there. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go have some. I want to see how this goes down. Like, I just wanted to see if I enjoyed it the same, if I could just have a little bit and put it away, if I had to like really think about that or just like, bro, I ate a tenth of what I normally would have had and had no problem putting the rest of it back in the freezer and felt 100% satisfied. Wow. I did not have this like, I want it
so more. For people that don't.
That is fucking trippy. Yeah, so something that hits that, man, when I hit ice cream, you look out.
It's a strong one for you.
Yes, I'll just.
It's like a drug.
Yes.
I've seen you. So what's weird, as I continue to look into this and you hear people's anecdotes and then you see, you know, what's coming out, this is going to be most likely going to be the biggest medical intervention across the board, bigger than, you know, Prozac, bigger than the PDE5 inhibitors like Viagra, bigger than statins. This probably is going to be one of the most widely used, these class of peptides, most widely used. And the addiction side of it is really weird. It's
really going to be interesting.
That's really weird.
We're going to see massive division here. There's going to be a lot of hate on one side and a lot of love on the other side. We're going to see a ton of that, which is typical with anything that's like this groundbreaking and huge, right? Because here's what's going to happen. There is going to be a whole subset of people that this is literally going to be, this is life-changing and amazing for them. Then there's going to be another subset of people
there's a huge potential for abuse
here. Looking for shortcuts.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Looking for shortcuts. I had this great conversation with Christina, who's our friend. It's a coach. We've shouted her out on the show before. She has a psychology background. Mm-hmm. And so she's like a therapist first before a coach and trainer. And she really wanted, like she was really digging into me, like to be like, well, what, don't you think this would be bad for these people and this and that and really challenging. And I'm like, listen, the verdict's not out with me as far as like who for sure I would do this with and not do it with. The thing that we had this, she's like, you know, one of the things I do in therapy is when people have these triggers and stuff like that, that opens up an opportunity for me to go in there to work on
it. That's right.
Like, what was it that triggered that? She goes, so if it eliminates that, aren't you worried that these people are, and I'm, oh, I said, yeah, you're 100% right. Like, if you're not already thinking of, like, I went into it and you heard how I'm talking already, like, this is making me rethink my relationship with food. So I didn't go in it like not thinking that there's potential work.
You have the awareness of a trainer with 2 decades of experience working with other people
Right.
You know?
Now, think if you're somebody else who's just...
And you're not working with a coach. You're not
who just wants to lose weight. Yeah. And then it has this miraculous, doesn't make you binge. But then... Yeah. But the real root of all that's binging is because it's a coping mechanism. Okay. What people need to understand is that when you binge and you overeat food, it's just like somebody who, even though it's not because we justify it, but someone who smokes cigarettes, does drugs, whatever, sexual pornography.
Yeah. When you're going to the point of damage and hurting yourself, which is what obesity is.
Well, yes.
There's something there
that you're coping.
It. Yes.
And so if it now cuts that off, then they're not so, this is her and I ping ponging back and forth. And I said, yeah, but you could also say this to them though. Maybe that helps them at least get through the initial weight loss. And they get to that point and then maybe they get off of it and then it starts to come back. And then you can start so I could see a lot of ways to work
from
around it.
Her perspective, I guess, like the ideal situation would be to kind of go through a few weeks, a month, and then really detailing out a lot of the triggers, a lot of all this, and then going with the tirzepatide.
There's also this. It's a significant minority of people who get heart disease or diabetes are not overweight. It's something like 20% or something like that of people who have heart attacks or who get diabetes are not overweight. There's metabolic issues. They're under muscled. And I wonder how many people who are obese even just are under muscled, which the data seems to show quite a bit. So what happens when you just eat less? You don't change anything else. You don't increase your protein intake. You don't start strength training. You just eat less.
Yeah.
What happens is the body, and the data on this is very clear, and it's not the GLP-1s that are doing this, by the way. This is just anytime you cut your calories, you eat the same of what you were eating. You just eat less of it. You don't do any strength training. You don't modify protein intake. You just eat less. Your body adapts to the lower energy intake by paring muscle down. So you're going to get a bunch of people who are already under muscled to lose muscle, theoretically. So I don't think this is a panacea.
No.
I think if it's used the right way with a trainer or coach or awareness, therapist, some modifications, this could be one of the most powerful.
Yeah, I do regret a little bit of not doing a DEXA first so I could show people, because I know I've lost muscle. There's no doubt in my mind. Yeah. I've lost muscle too. There's no way I lost that fast eating the calories I'm eating and to not. Again, I had told you guys that I didn't care, right? The idea was...
You're trying to go through the experience of the average person.
Like a client.
Yeah.
Yeah, not like the trainer guy in me who has the discipline to be like, oh, I need to eat right now because I need 60 more grams of protein. Yeah. So I go make myself do it. I've proven myself I can do that to extreme levels, right? To extreme competitive physiques. So now I'm going about it like, okay, let's just allow it to take this course and see kind of where I land, how I feel, and what's going on. But all in all, even with the fact that I've had these colds like that, I feel really good. Like my overall like inflammation on my body is like, it makes me feel like, man, I had been in just this constant state of inflammation even when the diet's good, quote unquote, I think that I was still inflamed, and my psoriasis is pointing to that too.
Well, for decades, you pushed yourself, even when you weren't quote unquote trying to, you were pushing yourself to be bigger than probably what your body wants to be. I know, because I'm the same way.
Yeah.
And that consumption probably caused some inflammation.
It has to. That's the only thing
Your skin, I was telling you out there, your skin looks better than I've ever seen. He looks like he's younger.
I know. I mean, I feel good too. I do feel low energy though. And that's obviously because of all these calories. And also I'm recovering from being sick. So this is why I want to put 2 weeks together, because I haven't had a great workout. The workouts I've got in have been like going through the motions, like to get through it.
Yeah.
But also understanding that I'm battling a cold and I was battling a flu bug the week before. And so I knew I couldn't first day I feel kind of good. I didn't want to go slam it in the gym. And so I'm kind of tiptoeing my way around there. But all in all, I mean, my body feels really good.
I've never seen, and because it's so effective, the potential for abuse is through the roof. I could see, first off, competitors abusing the hell out of this. I could see people who with food issues who just want to restrict, use the hell out of this to make it easier. That's the abuse potential there.
Well, so I was sharing this with Jerry and Katrina, and not to get too far ahead on again, get over my skis on this yet until I see everything. But my plan is, no matter what, because I see the power of it and knowing, is that I'll keep a bottle of it always on hand. And I could see in times where I'm going to do something where I know I'm going to be challenged with overeating or eating out or making bad, using it, and then because it's not a fast and effective. It's not like it needs weeks to build up. Like, I mean, I felt within day two or three, like I felt a difference. So I can imagine like I'm going on a trip for like a week and I'm like, oh, I'm just going to take it for this week. Yeah. I'd rather come back low calorie, not ate very much, than to overeat all kinds of shit.
When you see something this potentially powerful. You always see market changes in other products and services that this affects. The processed food industry is freaking out. I talked about this already.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
No.
I get why.
They're actually meeting with each other, trying to figure out how are we going to deal with this if this becomes widespread and mainstream. And there's even speculation. You ready for this? There's even speculation that they're starting propaganda wars to try and scare people, because if you're a snack food company.
Misinformation campaigns?
Yeah, dude. Because if you're a snack food company, like this will destroy your profit.
Well, I cautioned the coaches and trainers I was talking to, you know, and I said, here's my thought process on this. I already know from what I've experienced and seen already, this shit ain't going away. And you as coaches and trainers are going to have to deal with it. Now, do not feel like you need to choose a side. Because I feel like that's what's happening right now. You're either, right. I'm all 100% pro science and peptides, and this is going to be miraculous. And then the other side of, this is the worst thing for you. You're not, and it's like,
stupid.
Okay, yeah, both are stupid.
This is cheating. Okay,
there's going to be situations where this is going to be amazing for people. There's going to be situations where it's not going to be. As a coach and trainer,
you need to
be informed, educated about it, and understand what the potential pitfalls are, what the benefits of it are, and then be able to communicate that to your clients.
I think
and you're working with a physician.
I think this will be this is I was telling the same trainers, because they were like, why would someone want to work with a trainer? I'm like, are you kidding me? This could potentially be a massive boom to the trainer industry, because as people use this and just take it, they're going to lose muscle. They're going to lose strength. They're going to be like, oh my God, I need to do strength training. I think this is only going to fuel the strength training trend that's already started. I think it's going to make it grow even faster because what people are going to do is they're going to go on these and they're going to be told by doctors, friends, and so on, you need to lift weights and do strength training when you're doing this.
I think
they're going to need trainers for that.
I agree with that, because I agree with the whole statement that Dr. Gabriel Lyons said, which is that we're not overweight, we're under muscled,
right.
And I think we're already in that situation. This is not a pro muscle peptide.
No,
this is not something that is going to support.
It just makes you eat less,
right? And this is going to be great for obesity, be great for people that need to lose weight, that have struggled with binge eating, have bad habits around stuff like that. That's going to be, but then the next challenge that they're going to have after that is their doctor's going to be like, hey, you need more muscle. You don't have enough muscle. Yeah. And so I agree that's going to point back to a lot of trainers. So trainers and coaches that are going through it right now, you know, continue to learn, continue to get your-
And know how to work with it.
Yeah, and work with it instead of feeling like you need to choose a side of it's all good or it's all bad.
Totally.
It's going to be somewhere in the middle.
Totally. And I think people using them are more likely to hire a trainer than people not using them. Just like men on TRT are more likely to go do strength training than people not, whatever. I think it's going to only make the industry grow. Yeah, and speaking of which, the studies, you know, and this is across the board, by the way, it's reminding me of a study that my brother-in-law sent me. He sent me a study that showed the top causes of poor health. And the third one on there was like cigarettes, alcohol, something, something. And then it was sodium. And he goes, and now he trains jujitsu 4 days a week, lifts weights, right? Eats a whole food diet. And he goes, hey, you know, I know you gave me the element T to have during jujitsu. He goes, should I stop taking that? Mm-hmm. Is that putting my sodium too high? I'm like, bro. I'm like, what they don't show with those studies, and this is true for all studies, by the way, and I'll explain another one here in a second. When you look at a study that connects high sodium to all these poor health outcomes, what they don't control for is that in modern societies, when people have a high sodium diet, it's a high processed food diet.
Yeah.
If you control for that, the negatives go away, especially if you're active, you sweat, and you move a lot. You need to have that sodium. So I told him, do not cut your sodium intake, because it'll crush you in jiu-jitsu. The other study that I could talk about with that, or studies, are the ones that show in a lot of these Mediterranean countries how drinking a glass of wine a day improves health. I had a trainer bring this up to me at the event as well. And he said, "What, you know, these studies that show like a glass of wine is good for you or not." He's like, "What's going on?" I said, "It's just like the sodium studies." I said, "What they're not controlling for in Mediterranean countries, if you have a glass of wine with dinner every night, it's probably because you're with other people and you're eating in a communal setting. These aren't people by themselves isolated drinking. So if you control for that, then what you'll see is that the alcohol is a negative. But it's a net positive if you only have one glass, but you're doing it with friends and family. The positive of the social interaction outweighs the negative of just one glass of wine, because of that. But if you control for just that, if you're by yourself in your house, watch TV, drinking just alcohol or whatever.
That's an interesting that's an interesting thing to speculate on too. I wonder, like, I'm trying to think of my own behavior.
Yeah, that's
like
the most benefit, because they would try to deduce it down to like some of the resveratrol, some of the other like elements within the wine.
Well, a glass of grape juice.
Not only that though, but I'm trying to think of like your theory on like, If you're drinking by yourself, are you more likely to be someone to just have one glass? Are you more likely to, if you're drinking by yourself, someone who's going to have three, four, or five glasses because you're doing it to kind of medicate yourself? Yeah. Versus, I've done this many times where I'm just in a social environment or having dinner and like, oh, a nice wine would pair with that steak, you know? And so you have that. And so it's more likely that I'm with people when I'm having one. Like, do you think that there's a lot of people that just do one by themselves, drink one drink?
I know in the Mediterranean countries.
You already got a problem if you're drinking by yourself.
Yeah.
I hate to tell you.
If you look at the studies that show that the benefit, a lot of them are these countries in Europe, France, Italy, Greece. And I know I'm from these countries, but you also look at the data. It's communal. They're enjoying a glass of wine with friends and family and eating together. Being with other people is tremendously beneficial. Good relationships are very good for your health. Bad relationships, terrible for your health. No relationships, worst. Isolating yourself is one of the worst possible things you could do for your health. So what they don't control for in those studies is that. Nobody's ever really controlling for that when they look at studies on that. But if you did, which I've seen people parse that out, it's like it takes, because alcohol is not good for you across the board. There's no benefit to drinking alcohol. Unless you're doing it with other people, in which case, again, the social benefits outweigh the negative of the one glass.
Stay home, stay safe, right?
I wanted to ask you something. Speaking of stay home, stay safe, right? I wanted to ask you, Sal, about something that I never did until I met you. I was always the guy who got sick and then laid up forever. And like, you're so notorious for like, as soon as you think someone's even sick around you, you have like your stack of things that you do. And I've adopted that. And, and of course, I'm biased in that situation because I feel like, oh, man, that makes a huge difference. Is there research to support, like, because right away, I go right to my elderberry, the zinc, and then the green juice. Three of those, green juice or immunity. But I feel like the green juice has a lot.
Organifi.
Yeah. So I do that. And I'm basically all I'm drinking in the daytime, like fluid-wise, I'm mixing either the immunity or the green juice with that. And then I'm sucking on elderberry, and then I have my zinc lozenger stuff. If I'm doing that within the first 24 hours of feeling like, do they have research to support what that does?
Yeah, elderberry and zinc in particular, it reduces the severity and or the time. So it's not going to prevent you from getting sick.
No.
But you'll get better or two faster.
So what I think I feel, what I think I feel is it doesn't ever feel like I don't get sick. It's like if I get sick, but it just feels like it doesn't hit me as hard. Yeah. I mean, I would say like 50% less. Like it's significant.
Elderberry for influenza and upper respiratory, it's been shown that. Zinc, lozenges, because the zinc, they think, has to do with preventing the replication of the virus in the throat, which is where a lot of it. Also, zinc sprays they do in the nose is another one. So it's, but it doesn't make you, and then it doesn't cure you.
What also about like the water and fluid and drinking lots of it? Because I feel like that's another, and this is also part of why I do the immunity and the green juice, because it keeps me drinking. Oh. Like, I need to drink this. Yeah. And I feel like when I'm drinking and peeing, I get through the cold faster.
I don't know if it's the miraculous benefits of drinking a lot of water, or it's when people are sick, they tend to under drink water. And so they also get the compounding effects of
dehydration.
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
So, you guys have kids.
You're probably
this.
Right.
When you have your kids, what does the doctor always say when your kid's sick? Make sure they drink lots of fluids.
Yeah.
The reason being, your kid will not reach for water like they normally do when they're sick. And you can see it in their lips sometimes. And so you have to like get them to drink because they're not feeling good. They don't want to get up and drink water.
Is it harder for their body to regulate temperature and all that? Like in terms of like, because obviously like it's beneficial if that happens and you get like, to the point where you get a fever because you're fighting off. But at the same time, too, like if you're not properly hydrated,
dehydration
sure throw everything off.
Yeah, body regulation, temperature regulation goes off.
So I wonder. I'm wondering, and then that makes me wonder if it's the actual water that I'm feeling the positive benefits, or it's the green juice and all the vitamins and minerals that I'm getting inside there.
So vitamin C. So immunity is high in vitamin C, but there's some other herbs in there that have been used historically for viruses. Vitamin C is mixed. So there's some data to show high doses of vitamin C can reduce the severity of colds. Other data showing maybe not so much. It's tough, but you know, the stuff like they're like Ayurvedic medicine, Chinese medicine. Then there's like, you know, old wives' tales, I'll call it, but these are things that people have used for hundreds of years. There's benefit. And then oftentimes it takes us a long time to have studies to show that, oh, that's why it works. Like a good example is honey for coughs. Mm-hmm. I remember, you know, going to the doctor and saying, this is when my oldest was a kid. So this is a long time ago. He has a cough. Should I give him some honey? The doctor's like, no, that's an old wives' tale. And I remember I kept repeating that. And then a study comes out. By the way, honey has been used for coughs forever.
Yeah.
Hundreds of years.
And with high-performing singers.
Yeah, yeah, forever.
Yeah.
They find that there's a compound in honey that actually reduces the cough reflex. It somehow affects the brain in such a way. So they were right. They were right. So it just goes to show, it's like, you know, anecdote that goes for 100 years, 200 years, thousands of years, just because we don't have a double-blind placebo-controlled study doesn't mean we should discredit an entire culture that says, if you take this for this, then it tends to help. Because that's a lot of anecdote. It's not a study, but it's been around. If it's lasted for that many years, then it's probably got something.
I'm so annoyed with the community of people that like latch onto a single study so hard, and it's like becomes like dogma.
Yeah,
I saw that one doctor again that did a viral post of a clip of you were talking about a study.
God, like, that guy's so annoying.
You know what I get? I don't know if I get more upset at him doing dumb stuff like that, because whatever. I know what he's trying to do. He's trying to build his business.
Yeah, we know what he's trying to do.
Yeah, wasn't he the guy that got paid by the beverage industry to talk about?
And people think that he's like doing the Lord's work because he's out there busting all these studies. No, it's like, dude, there's way more nuance than this isolated study. It's not, and it's like everyone thinks it's like this gotcha moment. Like, ha, finally,
Actually, we got Sal. The context wasn't even there. So what we've always said, by the way, if he did literally 30 minutes of research, he would have seen for himself. By the way, anybody who does social media posts wearing a stethoscope is already stupid.
Lab coat or anything. Like, get out of here.
Yeah, anyway. I mean, in our world, that's the same thing if you do in every video.
Every post with no shirt on.
No shirt on.
Same thing. The no shirt or the lab coat. I mean, that's your go-to. Come on.
But we've said this. Look, the data on protein intake from vegan sources and animal sources is clear. So I'll have him watch this so he could try reposting this. The data shows, and he showed this in the study he quoted, when protein intake is high enough, it doesn't matter the source. But if it's not that high, and what he quoted was 1.6 grams per kilogram of body weight, which is right around 0.6 to 0.8 grams per pound of body weight, which is what we quote, or when we round it up to make it easy, because we're trainers, when we talk to the average person, it's much more effective to give them something easy to remember than it is
to 0.657,
whatever. 1 gram per pound of body weight always kind of gets people to hit the mark, okay? But if you're below that 1.6, to use the data, grams of protein per kilogram of body weight, which is 2.2 pounds, when you go below that, then it matters. Then animal sources are superior for muscle building, recovery, and performance. So unless you're eating a high protein diet, the protein sources matter. If your protein intake is high, then you have enough amino acids and it doesn't really make a difference. Yeah. Now, here's what Dr. Sanctimonious doesn't understand is we trained everyday average people. How many clients did you ever train
that hit over their protein
intake? That hit those high protein intake on their own?
1%?
Never.
Barely.
Never. Yeah. So that's why we say, you know, look, if you're going to throw a shake in there, it's still not going to get you that limit that we like, but why don't you make it way it's better than this? Or even better, eat meat. It's going to be better than the vegan sources. Yeah. So that's all. Yeah. But he took one clip and then...
I know.
Trying to make himself.
And then the amount of people that come to his defense and then think that we don't know what we're talking about. It's like, dude, this is crazy. Internet's ridiculous, dude.
It's wild.
Yeah. It's breeding dumber people is what it's doing. Yeah. We have more information, more knowledge out there, but it's literally breeding more people because then people just blindly follow because it's like, oh, he's an MD. Yeah. What are you, a tattooed meathead? What do you know?
You can get whatever you want.
Okay, I mean, guy. Okay.
Yeah. Really? Do people say that?
About? Oh, yeah. Dude,
just, tattooed meathead?
Yeah, yeah. I engaged for a minute, then I'm like, I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here. So,
it's a lot of positives happen, though, too, man. Again, this morning, I'm working out in a commercial gym and the amount of people lifting weights properly and following, you know, doing good exercises is so much better than it used to be. I can't even believe it. Mm. Like all the squat racks were taken. People are deadlifting. Women are bench pressing properly, you know, arch back and, you know, grounded feet and overhead pressing. I'm watching people do box squats properly. I didn't see any. Know? Nobody did that 15, 20 years ago.
No, no. Yeah. And you know what? I opened my DMs today and I got this message from someone I've never spoken to before. And says, I can't tell you how much your podcast has changed my life. I was so stuck in a binge restrict overtrained circle. And I felt so misunderstood from the people around me that I really gave up on finding a partner at some point of my life. I've now, thankfully to you, completely turned my life upside down and now train appropriately, feel better than I ever felt before, and finally have made peace with my body. But also the stories about your family are so inspiring to me. Although I haven't found a partner yet, I know now that there are people out there who have some goals and mindsets as I do. Also, loving myself was a huge step and without any relationship would have been useless anyways.
Wow, that's great.
I know. So for every one idiot that we have on the internet that posts stuff like that, luckily we have a balance of like 10 messages like that that will come in the same day. And I just remind myself.
They're just the prodigal son. That's how I look at it. You just got to let them go and then they'll come back eventually.
Yeah. Dude, I got to bring this up to you, Justin. I learned something. This is real. Okay. This is a real deal. I learned something the other day about Beyonce. You know that there's all this conspiracy theory.
Oh, wait a second.
Yes, come on. Let's bring on all the celebrity gossip. And
so did you know?
Did you do a triple fact check before you talk about this?
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and make a statement here. Well, I don't know. Okay, so we got called out a bit on our forum, and I appreciate that.
Oh, is this for the Tom Hanks thing?
Tom Hanks. I know. Apparently, Tom Hanks is the beloved golden one in some people's mind.
He's a good actor.
So yeah, he's great. I love his movies, you know, but I'm not the guy that's like going to, you know, defend any of these characters with their personal lives. I don't know anything about them, right? And I think there was like some article like that was satire that was promoted. And I mentioned Mark Wahlberg.
Not wanting to work with him.
Yeah, not wanting to work with him. So I just kind of, regurgitated that. And it wasn't completely accurate. It was satire, right? So I acknowledge that. You got me. But at the same time, like the Epstein thing, that was weird that they started to try to kind of also tie that in. Is like that was also like fact checked. Was it fact checked? Because they don't even have an official list of the Epstein list out there. And I've dug. Trust me. And
there's a lot of stuff on conspiracy internet land about Tom Hanks being part of all
exactly.
That.
There's like thousands and thousands of people just like incessantly like commenting about. So I'm not real quick to defend him. I'm just going to put that out there. So if you want to do that, you know, that's up to you when the information really comes out. But, you know, for right now, you know, I'll admit I was wrong. It was a satire piece. You got me. Well, it's harder these days to kind of sift through all that for sure.
Well, so this is not satire. So Beyonce's drummer put a restraining order on Beyonce. This is real. You know why? This was a while ago.
Drummer or a girl drummer?
No, it was a female drummer. Oh, this happened, and I looked it up. I'm like, is this real? So this was in 2018, because I'm like, can't be real. I looked it up. Her ex-drummer filed a restraining order against Beyonce. You ready for this? Do you want to know why?
Why?
Extreme witchcraft.
Shut your face.
Yes.
Dude, that's...
Shut your face. That Beyonce practiced extreme witchcraft, was putting curses on people, on her. What? Magic spells of sexual molestation to harass her. That she's like, I just need a restraining order on her or whatever. Yeah.
See, now stuff like that, and you're just like, okay, you know, that can't be true.
Well, I mean, she put a restraining order on her for it.
Yeah. That's pretty wild. The Lizzo stuff too, right? Like she had all these like dancers coming out about all that, and that kind of came out and was, you know, inflammatory towards her career. And then now she comes out later like, I'd quit. Yeah. You know, I'm just going to stop.
Yeah. I actually, you know, the forum member that called out the Tom Hanks, first of all, I was tagged in there. So I was like, did I say that? I don't remember saying that. And you came forward and said that was you who said
that. Yeah,
I didn't even remember it. I did appreciate the conversation and dialogue I had with her. She didn't, I don't mind when people ask and challenge. I love that. That's great. And I just was straightforward. Like, no, I don't think that I'm going to go back and fact check every celebrity gossip. So the part of the show that we claim to be is fitness experts. So when we talk about studies and we talk about stuff related to that, you bet your ass
rest of it is just three dudes having a good
time. That's right. The rest of it is like there's no script to this. Like I had no idea.
We're riffing, dude.
Yeah. It's, and you know, you read something 5 minutes ago, you bring
the
it
Beyonce
up.
Beyonce thing. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. I have no idea. I'm going to take his word for it. We're going to argue about it. We're going to laugh about it. It's like that's part of the formula of the show is that there's our knowledge that we've acquired over two decades of training people that we bring to you that we promise is going to be factual and accurate. And then if we're ever wrong, we'll also the type of guys that will come out and say, hey, new study comes out or this has changed. This is no longer true.
But not for celebrity gossip.
I'm not going to spend hours digging and doing homework just so I can have a conversation with my buddies about bullshit that I'm seeing on the internet. Like,
you know
what's
so funny about that is I like totally remember this being a formula even with my clients. Like, you know, certain clients I'd have, like we'd start off with like, oh, did you hear Beyonce? You know, and so you kind of get into it. And it's funny too. I have two other like celebrities. I'm going to bring up some stuff. So I did not know that Fred Durst, okay, you know, amongst all these other projects he's done, like he actually like wrote a script and created a movie that had John Travolta in it. Of all people.
Wait, it was an actual movie they made?
Yes.
What's it called?
It's called The Fan... Hold on.
So no one's ever heard it.
How did he get Travolta and we not hear it?
I have no idea. So it's called The Fanatic. Okay. And get this. So they actually like opened it up for 52 theaters. So this was like, they pushed it out there. Like it wasn't just like some, you know, like independent project or something. You know how much money it made?
How much?
$3,153 when it opened.
With John Travolta in it?
Yeah.
$3,000.
And it had, I guess, also.
Doug, can you pull this up? Can
that's
I
all see family
it?
Members.
Yeah, it's in 2019.
Can I see it? I want to see it.
It was recent?
Show me a picture.
Yeah, 2019. I had no idea. And so he plays like this autistic, like psycho fan that's like basically stalking a celebrity.
Shut up.
Yeah.
I want to watch it. I want to watch it.
I know. I kind of want to watch it.
I
want to
watch it.
The guy that was breaking it down, and I got caught like in this article that was talking about it, it was saying that it's like super quotable too. It's like a horrendously like great movie to like. You know, sometimes you watch bad movies. So you can kind of.
Sometimes bad movies are cult classics.
Yeah.
Because they're so bad.
Well, you can make a case like Napoleon Dynamite was like that.
Yeah.
It's just so weird. Ridiculous and stupid, but it's so good because of that, because it has a million one-liners in it because it's so silly, right? So.
Yeah, so I was super curious about that.
I'm so going to watch this. Yeah. I want to see.
That's wild.
Hey, so that's our homework.
What about Diddy? You haven't brought up Diddy yet. Do we want to talk about that?
That's so dark, dude. Like,
bro, talk about not having any facts to fact check right now, because that shit is like we're in the throes of that right now.
I heard leaked audio that his bodyguard said he recorded.
Okay, you sent that, and that was that ruined my whole day.
I don't know what it is. Okay, something like
that.
Bad.
I'm so skeptical that with AI technology with like leaked audio, even visual, I'm questioning now because how great the AI technology is. How easy is it to fake some voices and insert stuff like that?
Well, this sounded right. It wasn't voices. there was a lot of weird.
My point even more though. You know what I'm saying? How hard is it to fake stuff like that? And why is he not arrested? If the FBI goes in, okay, like if they kick your
doors. Yeah, they did a raid.
Yeah, if they do a raid like that, they kick your doors down. They've got something. You don't just randomly go.
They have enough for that.
Yeah, like to get a warrant like that to kick the doors down.
Well, you know what our theory is, right? I say our. I'm throwing Justin in this.
Yeah.
They're going in.
Conspiracy theory.
Not to convict them.
I know, to get the stuff. That's what I said. I think
it's and it's because of all of the high profile celebrity, you know, athletes, like royal family, you know, like people like that that might be intertwined there that have dirt. It's so crazy because, I mean, of course, you know, in that world, that's a currency. You know, blackmail and having information about people is very valuable.
So I think there's somebody, let me put my tinfoil on and play this game since I never do with you guys, is that this is connected to the Epstein thing. And whoever's in the, whoever it is that is powerful enough to make moves like this that was almost caught up in Epstein is also connected
to here.
So Epstein
was to control politics and billionaires and some entertainment
and scientists
people. And then P. Diddy was used to control the music industry and blackmail.
And for sure there's crossover in those parties.
Of course.
For sure there's crossover in those parties. So.
Because they found, I don't know.
There's definitely somebody, whether that's somebody of royalty or a president or somebody who's got some serious power who I think has been to both and is cleaning up their trail. It's like, okay, I've got the Epstein thing handled because he's no longer here to give me, but I still got caught up in the P. Diddy parties. And so I think whoever that is, that's where this is coming from.
Didn't Cat Williams say like, this is it, this year, it's all going to come out?
He said 2024 is a reckoning year.
Yeah. Wow. So that's where like, I'm like, all
instead of the media companies that have fact checkers and all that, like I'll go through Cat Williams.
Hey, bro, what's that called
again? He's pretty accurate so
far. What's that when you're a genius? What's that?
Mensa.
Like, Mensa. Yeah. I keep trying to, so I was telling someone that who like tried to discredit him. I'm like, you know, he's fucking Mensa, right? Yeah. Like, that's literally like.
Very smart.
Brilliant. Yeah, like brilliant.
Justin, did you ever watch in 2016, you just reminded me of this, there was an event that they did to kind of signify the opening, or we're going to turn on the Large Hadron Collider, the whatever. Did you ever watch that?
It was like a ritual, right?
It's a ritual for reals. Yeah. Like I saw a video of it in 2016, by the way.
I heard about it.
By the way, everything got weird after 2016. Yeah. This is when the whole world seems to have gone
this is where
into
we,
another dimension.
Yeah, this is where our whole, yes.
That's
our
theory. I don't know. Did you finish the octopus?
No, we watched more though.
Stop. Listen, finish it, please.
I should have watched it. I was
I'll
up
come
anyway,
babysit
right?
the kids for a day just so you can watch it. Fucking watch the damn thing.
All right. I'll take
you because you know why? Because what you're saying right now, I'm like, oh, this shit has definitely been going on.
This like the opening of CERN, bro, I got to show you the video. Like it's the strength. It looks like a satanic ritual, the whole thing.
Oh, God.
Sacrifices, dead people, a portal, oh, hell. God. And this was like for European leaders.
I wonder why we are like weirdly obsessed with like, I don't know why people aren't weirdly obsessed with things like that. It's like if you have a ritual, literally, if that physically happened, right? Like that happened at that spot before that opened up, like what are we dealing with here, right? And now you have NASA sending four rockets, sound rockets, into the atmosphere, basically to study
the eclipse.
Hold
on.
Is it happening right now? Shooting rockets?
The eclipse happened, right? Yeah. It already happened.
I know the scientific rationale. Yeah, so they're talking about the ionosphere and like trying to like, when there's less rays of the sun coming out, like so they see, yeah, the temperature changes and all this and like how it's affecting. Because the outer limits, you have the space station, and so okay. They're kind of seeing how that, you know, they can get a better accurate like portrayal of like how it's affecting
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but you're like, no, it's demons.
But I'm like, no, it's definitely like a demon opening portal. Like, that's cute, NASA.
Yeah.
We know it's really
happening. We know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You're trying to go work with demons.
you're bringing on Iowa, or what do they call it?
Yeah, AOI, I think was the name of it. Yeah. That's the conspiracy theory.
Do you think the acceleration of all this is because also the growth in wealth? Because when people reach a level of money, wealth, and the next thing is power, control, and weird shit like that, like I really feel like, and that's why it's not a far fetched conspiracy for me to think that it's all these celebrities. I think more people think it's the people that think it's like, why would them? Or that it's like, I'll tell you why. Because when you get to a point, and I was just listening to Will Smith talk about it, and you could tell, you could see it in his face. He had this interview just recently on a podcast that he and remember when. Who else came out and said this about when he was Jim Carrey about wishing that people could experience? They almost talk about it as a miserable thing to having so much money that you could literally buy anything and everything because it really puts you in this weird predicament of like,
why am I not happy?
Yeah,
yeah.
What am I?
I watched an interview with Jordan Peterson and Matt Walsh, and Matt Walsh can come definitely be a douche sometimes. And so he had did a tweet that said something like depression isn't real. I don't remember what it was. Jordan Peterson educated him. And he was very good at it. And he made some incredible points. He said in the past, questions of existential crisis were answered by spiritual leaders or philosophers.
Yeah.
Now we've done it all with doctors who don't have any background on that. Yeah. He says that's a big problem. You need to be able to understand all of that. And if you understand what the philosophers or spiritual leaders have talked about for years, sin is literally moving away from where you're supposed to move. And one of the problems with sin is that more you move towards sin, the bigger and worse the sin gets because it's like drinking seawater. I'm not thirsty. Oh, no, I'm thirstier. Oh, no, I'm thirstier. So it gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And so very
Pisces,
good.
Interview. Based off of that, that makes so much sense of the super powerful, wealthy,
yeah,
rich.
Yeah, the drugs, like, sex, money. This isn't enough. More drugs, more sex, more money. This isn't enough. And you keep going and you have to either face the fact that like maybe that's not the direction or I'm going to keep chasing that.
Right.
You know, that's why you have all those problems.
Wow. Yeah. Interesting.
I know.
So good stuff.
In today's episode, you heard us talk about tirzepatide, semaglutide, or GLP-1 agonist. We also talked about BPC-157 and testosterone replacement therapy. If you're interested in peptides or hormone replacement, go to mphormones.com. Doctors will work with you. It's real prescriptions coming from FDA-regulated laboratories and pharmaceutical companies. So it's not just something online that you get that you don't know what's in there. This is legit. mphormones.com. They'll help you out. Go check them out. All right, here comes the show.
Our first caller is Nick from California.
What's up, Nick?
What are you doing, Nick?
What's happening?
What up? Who's going to be in Lodi?
I am. My best friend lives in Lodi. I go there all the time.
Oh, right on. I have a restaurant here.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I come through. Yeah.
What's the restaurant?
It's called Guantonio's.
Guantonio's?
Yeah.
All right, I'm writing it down. Oh, your last name, I'm assuming. Is that what that is?
It's our family name.
Okay.
It got changed in the 50s when it wasn't so great to be Italian in the
No way.
In the US.
Are you going to So I'll be there on Friday, Saturday. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, cool. I'm gonna hit you up.
Charge him full price. Yeah. He makes a lot of money. How can we help you, man?
Just finally, getting back in the gym, played sports and things in high school, and then kind of kept that up through college. But then with work and life and everything, kind of got out of working out as much and not much at all the last probably 10 years with travel and getting the restaurant open and all that kind of stuff. So within the last 6 or 7 months, finally got my butt back in gym, working out, getting healthy. Was doing, research for opening restaurants. So like I say, eating like an asshole and drinking like an asshole for 15 years, but it was part of my old job doing sales. I was basically paid to eat. I was working in the meat industry. So anyway, got back in the gym with the help of a good buddy of mine. And within the last 6 months, lost 30 pounds, while putting on muscle. Listen to you guys regularly and hearing the same info. So I protein has been, hitting those protein targets have been a big part of helping me kind of clean up my food and, a lot of egg whites and chicken breasts and veggies and quinoa. So, did it the right way. Not fat, not eating, but also putting on muscle. So, got some blood work done with, my trainer kind of suggesting, and then, coach mentor of mine that I've been working with kind of suggesting getting some blood work done just to kind of see where we're at. Got some family history with heart disease and all that kind of stuff, so got that back, and they there's some things, other things on there, but the my main question is about the TRT and then enclopamine, or however you pronounce that. They got my testosterone in the 400s. My trainer that I work with, so I do CrossFit, and then I added in some strength training on top of that. But he seems to think in that 400 range is fine, and look at it again in 3 to 6 months and see where we're at. Of course, the company's suggesting some either TRT or the enclopamine, and then my coach trainer kind of not trainer, but coach mentor suggesting, one of the above. And I know you guys have talked about Shilajit in the past, as a natural, kind of testosterone enhancer. And as I wrote in my email, I do see some fatigue and some, I'm a father of four and being a chef and owning a restaurant and, different hours, trying to keep my sleep pattern as close as possible, but just sometimes it's just not possible. I do see all those things that you hear about with low T. So I just thought, get an unbiased, educated opinion from you guys, and appreciate you taking my call and email.
Damn, bro. You are a father of four, a chef, restaurant owner, and CrossFit guy. Yeah. You got a lot, dude.
Yeah, I think you probably can positively affect your natural testosterone
by backing off
quite effectively without doing anything, mm-hmm. In terms of medical intervention. So enclomiphene is what you're referring to. This is a it's in the old days they would use something called clomiphene. This is a selective estrogen receptor modulator. By blocking the estrogen receptor, it actually causes the body to produce more testosterone. So it is one medical intervention way of raising testosterone naturally. The challenge is going off the enclomiphene, then you lose that signal. And so where do you go from there? TRT is testosterone. This is just testosterone that you inject once a week. Sometimes they have gels or creams that you can use. And that'll raise your testosterone artificially. And now here's the deal. You'll feel stronger. You'll build more muscle. Libido will definitely go up with TRT, possibly with enclomiphene as well. But the problem is you may be blunting some of the signals that your body's telling you that are based off your lifestyle. In other words, if your testosterone is at 430, and let's say that's low for you, right? Let's say if you were doing everything optimally, your testosterone would be closer to 650 to 800 or 850, then taking testosterone, it'll fix some of the symptoms, but it's not addressing the root issues. So at a 430 level with what you're doing, if you were my client, I would look at lifestyle factors to see if we can affect your testosterone in a positive way. And the places I would look first are sleep. Is your sleep consistently good on a day in, day out basis? And then number two is your training. And how many days a week are you working out? How many days a week are you doing this CrossFit and then the strength training?
Four to five.
Okay. You might be overdoing it, especially if you're doing a CrossFit style of training where you're doing this kind of high intensity type of deal. How often is the CrossFit happening?
Four to five times a week.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would back off. I would do more traditional strength training 2 to 3 days a week at most. And then I would be active on the other days. I would look at just regular total activity. I would have good, clean diet like you're doing. And I'd look at my sleep. I'd be very consistent with my sleep. And then you could supplement with nutrients that, if they're low, tend to cause testosterone issues. Vitamin D, boron, zinc. These are the more common offenders. And then I'd see where you're at in 60 days. And I have experience with clients with this where I've seen, you know, I had one guy whose testosterone went from 400 to 900. I had another guy go from, you know, the 300s to the 650s. So you can make big, I mean, testosterone fluctuates pretty dramatically based off of lifestyle and, you know, some of the things I mentioned. Overtraining or doing a lot and, you know, you might be able to tolerate the workouts, but I don't know if it's optimal. It might be too much, especially considering all the things. Four kids and owning a restaurant, that's a lot, you know, and I have family members that own restaurants. That's one of the more stressful things to do, one of the more difficult entrepreneurial processes. So that's where I would go first.
Yeah, I would love to see if you let me, I would really prefer to see you on like a MAPS anabolic routine.
Totally.
You know, 2 to 3 times a week, full body type of routine, prioritize the sleep. A lot of my training would be around, you know, trying to relieve the stress. And sometimes too, when you have a lot, you have four kids, you have all this going on, sometimes we think that the feeling that we get from kind of beating ourselves up in the workout is this sense of relief, but it really isn't. I mean, it's just your
cortisol feels good.
Yeah, it feels temporarily good, but it's not doing yourself a favor. Like, you'd be better off scaling back on the intensity. And I do think that and if it's difficult to hear that or want to do that because maybe you really love doing CrossFit, which I'm sure you do, you know, I would just urge you to try it for 30 days. Like, give me 30 days of you kind of following what I want you to follow, go back and retest, and let's see what the testosterone naturally does. And my guess is I think just by scaling back on the volume and intensity of training and then putting some, you know, prioritizing sleep and trying to improve that, I think you'll see a difference in testosterone.
And if it doesn't significantly move, then, you know, TRT, I mean, you have four kids. I'm assuming you don't want any more kids.
No, we're good. Scientifically not able to anymore.
Okay. I have four kids too. So it's like, you know, at that point, you know, if you don't mind taking testosterone, for the rest of your life, there's nothing wrong with it. And you'll definitely, and you'll feel good if you can't raise your testosterone naturally through lifestyle changes. But I'll be quite blunt. Good, healthy, natural high levels of testosterone is better for you than high testosterone levels, from, you know, medical intervention, because your testosterone levels, natural testosterone levels fluctuate. They move with your body and your stress. Having artificially high testosterone with high stress isn't necessarily a good thing. There's a reason why your body lowers its testosterone when you're under a lot of stress. So, you know, that's just, yeah. And this is coming from someone who, I'm on TRT myself. I couldn't get it to move up naturally, but that's a whole nother story. So that's the direction I would go. And you would know within 45 to 60 days if it was working.
Yeah, that's why I say, I mean, you give me a good solid 30 days, I think you'll even start to notice a difference in 30 days. You should feel better. Some things you should notice is strength going up and energy levels more sustained just by simply doing that. Then you know you're on the right track. If we don't feel that and see that or notice that, then, you know, maybe TRT is...
It's just another blood... Yeah, get another blood test.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
That's it, man.
Did you? Oh, do you have MAPS anabolic already?
No, I don't.
Okay, right, let's send that to you.
We'll send that over to you.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Okay. Appreciate it, fellas.
You got it, brother.
See if I try and book a Friday or Saturday night with you.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Let me know. Send me an email or through social media or whatever. We'll get you set up.
Right on, man.
You got it, man.
Thank you.
Thanks, fellas.
While we were talking, Doug brought up pictures of the restaurant.
Looks bomb.
Oh, my really God. Delicious.
I already sent a text to Katrina to
we're eating here.
To look at our schedule.
That looked good.
I'm going.
That looked really good. Yeah, so, 4:30, total is not low. It's not optimal.
Yeah.
But it's not low. Considering all the things that he's doing, mm-hmm. God, I hate saying this because, he obviously likes his trainer. And I know there's different ways of applying, quote unquote, CrossFit. But if somebody says, in my experience, I'm a CrossFit trainer and I train people CrossFit, it's 99.9% of the time too much.
Yeah.
For the person that they're training.
They find out kind of like what they can tolerate.
Yes.
And I think that's just kind of the state he's in right now. It's like, I'm doing what I can do right now that I can tolerate, but it's not necessarily benefiting me. I don't honestly know that he knows what that feels like right now.
Yeah, well, I don't, I didn't feel like I got pushback from him. Yeah. So hopefully, but I also don't know if he's just like, yeah, fuck these guys.
Yeah. I mean, he might have a really good,
I mean,
he might have a great,
I get a lot of that from CrossFit guys.
Yeah. And, it's just, when CrossFit, the brand, okay, of CrossFit style training is really it's really only appropriate for people who compete in CrossFit.
It's funny.
For a person getting in better shape, it's not an appropriate way to work out.
By the way,
it's a sport.
Yeah, I hadn't shared this with you guys, but he was rocking the Creatures of Habit hat, which, Mike is a big CrossFit guy.
Yeah.
Was actually messaging me last week that he needs to start switching his training because it's taking a toll on his body.
I have a love-hate relationship with him. They did some things in the fitness industry that everybody else failed to do. They got people to squat and deadlift and barbells became cool. They got women to lift weights better than anybody else. And that's true. They also did some stupid shit, like beat the crap out of people and take everyday people and say, this is how you need to work out. And we're going to do circuits with Olympic lifting and just insane, not great programming.
Yeah.
So
people just need to know there's other options out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Thankfully.
Our next caller is Aline from Toronto.
Aline, how can we help you?
Hi. Oh my God, guys. So exciting. Thank you so much for all the information that you guys put out and everything that you do. And also shout out to my sister, Anna. She's the one that introduced me to you guys. Just as a background, I've been lifting consistently for about 5 years, kind of started off doing all the wrong things. I would run a 5K before every lift. And I just wasn't eating enough, but slowly started learning more about, the importance of protein, importance of sleep, and just eating enough to build muscle. I recently bought MAPS Anabolic. I've run it once already. Now on my second time running it through, and it's been amazing. I haven't seen, I hadn't seen upper body gains like that until this program, and it's been incredible. My question for you is, I love running, and I am inspired by these quote-unquote hybrid athletes online, like Nick Bear and Lucy Davis, who both run and weightlift. And I wanted to implement some sort of system to allow me to continue to build muscle, but also continue to run. I was just wondering if you guys had any suggestions on what kind of programs to follow when I'm kind of training for races, and what kind of programs to use when I'm really trying to build.
Yeah, that's great.
MAPS cardio.
So you like running because you like running. It's not for physique goals. It's because you enjoy the run itself.
No, yes, I do enjoy running.
The best way to do this is to train in seasons. So when you have a run coming up,
off season, for sure.
You train for the run and you follow a program, like Adam said it, like MAPS cardio, which would be more appropriate. And then when you're out of that season of running, you would do something more like a MAPS anabolic or a MAPS strong or MAPS symmetry. And you would just do enough running just to keep yourself, from losing the ability to run. And so you would just train in cycles and seasons. That's the best way to do it if you want to kind of be able to do both.
Yeah.
Doing it all at once, not a good idea.
Yeah, off season, twice a week on your off days of training would be fine. So like running an anabolic, and I think putting in a run 2 times a week would be enough to sustain definitely the ability to go out and run like you want to. And then in season, running something like MAPS cardio.
Well, yeah, I actually, I mean,
I love MAPS Anabolic, but I think performance might be a better fit just totally. Because, you know, you're running and you're fixated in that one plane.
No, definitely. You're right.
To be able to strengthen and support you, you know, so that way too, because inevitably, like we get into these patterns where we're just constantly applying the same type of stress in the same direction. So to kind of disperse that, make sure that you have, you know, good support around your joints would be good.
That would be the number one thing that I would caution you about, the, you know, going after like the hybrid athlete thing and seeing these weightlifting and runners and stuff like that. Like, and I don't know, Nick's pretty cool. Like we know him really well and he's a good dude. I don't know how, I don't follow.
He trains in seasons.
I know. And I don't know how much he like shares about if he suffers from like, you know, knee, hip stuff, but that's the most common thing you hear with people that are trying to do both. Is they're not addressing kind of what Justin is saying, and then they get these chronic nagging pains, and then they ignore it, and they still power through when that's their body telling you like there's something off in your pattern. Because when you do something like that, you know, repetitively for miles and miles, like it doesn't take much of being off. Your heel strikes just a little off, and that just compounds over time. And so just be aware of that stuff. Be aware of it, and since you're not – you're not competing, you know, trying to be hit PRs or do anything crazy. Listen to your body. And when you hear it talking to you like that, go back and address it. And I agree, MAPS Performance is probably the best.
The mentality is like this, is I'm focusing on building muscle in this season. So more of my training is geared in that way and less of it is geared towards endurance or running. Now I'm in another season. Now I want to focus more on running. So now I'm going to do more of my training and running and less of it with strength training and be very judicious with this. The trap is I'm going to do strength training and focus on running. I'm in this season of running. Now I want to build muscle, but I don't want to lose what I just got with the running season. So now I'm just going to do all of it. This is where people tend to screw themselves up. But if you train in seasons and get used to how they feel very different. So what you'll notice with the strength training season, tighter body, things feel solid. You got a nice sculpt, good metabolism and appetite. That's what that feels like. The training feels different. Now when I'm training for the running, okay, body softens a little bit, but I have the endurance. I have the stamina. I get those endorphins when I'm running. You know what that feels like? It's very seasonal. But if you try to do it all at once, this is where people tend to really screw up, is they don't want to give any of the other to pursue the other one.
Right. Yeah. I feel like that's definitely where I've kind of screwed up in the past. And I was actually going to ask about performance because it seems like a good program for me to kind of do as well. So would I be doing that one kind of during the weightlifting season?
During the weightlifting season.
Yeah. Performance weightlifting season, and then switch to MAPS cardio. And you can modify MAPS cardio for like what you, because we program cardio in there. But then when we alternate through different modes of cardio, if you're primarily just interested in running, you can make running your primary cardio. So like wherever it recommends cardio sessions, you would just insert your runs.
Just to give you an idea, like when I used to train
running in the off days to kind of make sure that that's still a skill that you have.
Yeah. So when I used to train clients that ran marathons, when they were training for a marathon, we would do one day a week of strength training. That's it. And it would be like four exercises. That's all they did in the season of training for the marathon. Then when they would stop the marathon, then we'd move up to 3 days a week of strength training, and then they'd run once or twice a week just to kind of maintain that endurance. So that's what it looked like. But when they were doing marathon training, it was one day a week. I have never trained a marathon runner where we did better with more than one day a week of strength training. It was always one day a week was it. More than that would take away the performance.
Right. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And before I go, I just wanted to say, like, my sister and I have been trying to get our parents to get into like weightlifting. They're kind of resistant to it, but we were able to get my mom to get started on anabolic. And just thank you so much, because they're very important people in my life. And we know all about how muscle is important for longevity. So it was only through you guys that we're able to get to them. So thank you.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Right. By the way, do you have performance? If you don't, we'll send that to you.
No, I don't have performance. That'd be amazing.
You got it.
Awesome. Thank you so much, guys. Really appreciate it.
Thanks. It's true, though. Parents do like us. I don't know about you guys. Parents love me.
We're a big
hit. I am a parent now.
Hit with the parents.
I know. Yeah, it's trying to do everything at once where people tend to screw up. But if you train in seasons, that whole hybrid model, I mean, it's to be quite honest, if you want longevity with fitness, that's kind of what it should look like. It should look, you should train in seasons, mobility, strength, you know, endurance, like
it's the best way to actually acquire those skills.
Yes.
Well, she has the right attitude too. Like if you see it, like we didn't say it, but she says it in her question here. She talks about that. I don't need to run a 3-hour marathon. I'm not trying to hit crazy PRs in the gym.
Yeah, she just enjoys it.
Yeah. So she enjoys it. It's a good, and so, and then all she really needs to do as she goes through this process is to listen to your body, because it'll let you know when you've been doing too much of one or the other, and then to just be able to back off and scale or change and pivot directions. And because she doesn't have this major, oh, I got to do this or I have to do this, it's totally okay. It's like, hey, you could be in the middle of your, you know, your run season or training and realize that the aches and pains are coming. Hey, nothing wrong with pivoting out of it and saying, hey, you know what? I can tell my body's talking to me. I need to move over into more mobility, you know, unilateral work and start addressing those things. And then when you feel good, hey, let's come back into it. Like that's in the real world. That's how with this client who has these goals, but don't have very specific dates we have to get ready for. This is how I would work you, is that we're not going to say it has to be this way. We're going to move in this direction with a plan, like you're saying, which is we have an off season, we have an in season. This is the program we run, but that doesn't mean that we might not pivot.
We still need to supplement it.
That's right. We might change something out or pivot if your body starts talking to you.
Our next caller is Ben from California.
What's up, Ben?
Oh, thanks for having me on, guys. I really appreciate your time.
You got it, man. All right. How can we help you?
So I had a quick question, and this actually was about a new type of workout that my wife has been doing. Just a quick background. She is a college or was a college athlete, and really did work with a lot of strength training, weight training, and is very proficient in those things. But her concern was she got too big and quote bulky when she was in college. I really never liked her shape, kind of big quads, wide shoulders. I didn't know her then, so I'm just taking her word for it. She does understand the importance of weight training, but seems to gravitate towards more of the Pilates and other group type fitness classes. So my question is, she's in this group fitness class, and I know you're already not liking it, where these participants get into this bodysuit that's hooked up to an EMS stimulus, which intermittently contracts the major muscle groups through approximately like a 25-minute workout. Workout consists of mostly body weight exercises like squats, push-ups, lunges, et cetera, with some mixing in of bicep curls, shoulder presses, but these are with like 5-pound dumbbells. So you're all the while getting this EMS current, you know, every 10 seconds it's contracting all the major muscle groups. So I'm not quite sure if this type of workout is actually building strength and muscle for her. My question really is, would having this outside source of EMS contractions elicit hypertrophy? Or is it a waste of time?
It's a waste of time.
This is a gimmick.
It's a new gimmick, right? Have you seen all these now?
Yes.
It's circulating again.
Okay,
right now.
So EMS been around for a long time.
Yeah,
we have lots of data on EMS. Electronic muscle stimulation or electric muscle stimulation has benefits for reducing atrophy when people are immobile.
Yes.
Or through
injured
therapy, right? So you tore your knee, you can't do anything. It's immobilized, so you could use EMS on the quads and hamstrings, and it'll reduce the amount of atrophy, but it's not an effective muscle-building tool. Now, in this class, this is very gimmicky, and 9 out of 10 times, classes are gimmicky, and you'll see this all the time. They'll have drums that they do, or they'll hang from something, or they'll call it some weird thing, or they'll combine two fads like Pilates and yoga, Pyo, or strength training and Pilates, you know.
Have you seen those spring shoes that they're using now?
Very gimmicky.
Yeah.
So what the EMS is doing is it's just making the workout feel harder.
Yeah.
So as you're moving, it's contracting muscles that either oppose the movement or go with the movement to make you feel like, oh my God, I'm squeezing really hard. Are you getting any additional benefit? No, it's not doing anything. It's an intensity-based group exercise class with a gimmick, really not that different from any other quote unquote strength training group class. So in terms of in comparison to, let's say, traditional strength training, it wouldn't come close.
So this was when Katrina and I first started dating, this was kind of one of the hurdles I had to overcome. Although she wasn't as hardcore into like group classes, she was hardcore into like circuit type training. Mm-hmm. And that's how she had trainer in the past. She was an ex-collegiate athlete. And her big fear was she would say she's boxy. She had broad shoulders and kind of wider hips, and she hated that. She goes, oh man, when I lift weights, I just get this boxy look. And so she would always defer to like these, you know, circuit running, sweating type classes, because it made her feel like she wasn't getting bulky.
And I explained to her that it's all about how you lift and train and how you diet with that. And a lot of this is done through nutrition and making sure that I'm feeding you properly while also building and sculpting the physique. Because even I said, even if I build your shoulders, which you don't, which sounds so scary to you, if we do that while also tapering your waist in, you'll get more of an hourglass look and you'll like your look, even though I built your shoulders. So a lot of this has to do with, you know, building and sculpting the physique and then also diet and eating properly with that. And she would be far better off running a MAPS anabolic program, following a good diet and getting and dieting to be lean, and she'll see the look she wants.
What sport did she play in college?
She was a diver, so.
Okay. All right.
Similar, broad shoulder, right? She probably complains about broad shoulders or feeling that way.
That's a structure thing. The only time I've ever worked with somebody, a female, where I saw that this was like a thing, was a shot putter. And that's just, that's like a whole nother level of genetic development. She was built a particular way. But if your wife strength trained appropriately, sculpted her body in ways that, you know, she wanted, focus more here, less here, and then worked with her diet, she'd get what she thinks she's going to get out of these crappy classes. She'd get the body she thinks she's going to get out of doing these classes, what I'm trying to say.
Okay. And so that was my follow-up question. You would recommend, say, like a MAPS anabolic program for her? She'll be 42 next week, but she's still very, very active. Is that the route you'd take?
Yeah, I'd start her there. And then I'd actually, like, Katrina loved aesthetic. She felt that she got a lot of that from aesthetic. Yeah, because
Courtney's a big fan of that.
Yeah, so especially because she's trying to sculpt her body to look a certain way, and she's was concerned about it looking boxy. So I ran her on anabolic first and dieted her properly through it, and then I went into aesthetic afterwards, and she loved the results from aesthetic.
Okay. Thank you guys. I really appreciate your time.
Did I see you have, anabolic already?
Yeah, I actually have both programs, so I think I'm all set.
Okay.
Oh, you're good, man.
Right on, dude.
Yeah.
Keep us posted, Ben. Yeah. Good luck.
All right. Thank you so much, guys. Right. Appreciate your time.
Yeah.
Bye.
Let me ask you guys a question. What percentage of the time when a woman would come to you and say, man, when I lift weights, I get bulky. What percentage of the time was it the weights? Was it actually the weight training that did that?
It never is.
It was the diet. No, it's never that.
Never.
It's hard to, so, you know.
I mean, it's so, like, I saw a picture of, what's his name? The wrestler that went to that was WWE, went to the UFC. Big, huge.
Brock Lesnar?
Okay. His daughter. I just saw a picture of her. that would be the case where I'd be like, okay, I believe you.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys see a picture of her. She looks like Brock Lesnar with long hair.
Yeah, yeah.
No, 99.999% of women, just, that's not the problem. The problem is diet. And what you're attributing to the weight training has nothing to do with you building tons of muscle. That's not what's happening.
Yeah, Katrina was she was eating a lot of foods that that she was intolerant to. She didn't know. She was constantly in a state of inflammation. Mm-hmm. So she was always
bloat.
A lot of bloat, a lot of extra water. And then you added weight training to that, and it would just make her feel bigger and wider. And there was nothing that I could originally do to convince her. That's why I had to let her come to me, right? It took years of dating before she finally, okay, tell me what you would do. I said, okay, we're going to lift like that. You're going to lift heavy, like I'm trying to bulk you up. But then I want you to eat this way. And we're going to cut out these foods, hit your protein intake. And then it only took about 30 to 60 days of her seeing like the body start to shape up, and she realized.
He's going to have a hard time pitching this to his wife.
I know,
dude.
I know. It's tough for him. I mean, I imagine it's hard for us.
Yes. That's what I mean. We're like professionally doing it.
I got a top ranked podcast, honey.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully she'll at least listen to this conversation. Yeah. And just like I told Katrina, I don't need very much time. Just trust me. And the diet will be huge. So I'm going to tell you, like, I don't know her. But if that very well could be adding to the problem, because I do know that you add weight training to somebody who's also eating an inflammatory diet, and it will feel like it's bulking you up. But if you eat the diet right, and you're tight, and you will tighten up.
That's right.
That waist will come in, and even if the shoulders broaden, this is what I had to tell Katrina, like, even if I build an extra inch on your shoulders,
which you're not going to do,
but you will taper your waist in, it's going to give you the hourglass look that I know you want. So just trust the process. And of course it did.
Our next caller is Becky from the UK.
Hi, Becky.
How you doing, Becky?
How can we help you?
Hi, guys.
Good morning.
So nice to see you.
Yes.
Thank you. How can we help you?
Well, actually, do you know what? I emailed in on Sunday, and I was really surprised to get a message back yesterday to say, would you like to come on the podcast? So super quick. I was impressed.
Awesome.
Thank you.
The only thing is, I am doing this Zoom link through my phone and the email. I don't know if I can get it up to read my question.
Doug can read it.
Yeah. Is that okay?
Yeah.
You want me to read the whole question?
Yes, please.
So you're a 39-year-old busy mom who's recently gone back to work pretty much full time and is eating into your usual routine. You've been bulking for a while now, recently started a cut, and have a nutrition coach to guide you through this. Neat is really important. How should I prioritize this over lifting weights? I'm currently lifting 3 times a week, but if I have a low step count, I wonder if subbing one of the lifting sessions for a big walk is the best way to go, or does it not make much of a difference? I'm fully aware that building muscle really helps with revving up your metabolism to burn more calories in the long run, but it's only 45 minutes to an hour compared to a full day of walking around doing life. My usual step count has always been around 7,000 to 8,000 steps per day, but I've upped it to 10,000 minimum for this fat loss phase. I have about 3 to 5 kilograms to lose. My lifting routine is mainly a full body powerlifting style, and I change it up every 3 months or so. I've done MAPS Anabolic, Prime Pro, Performance, and Strong. I'm just going through the motions for the health benefits of lifting weights, and as a longtime lifter with decent muscle mass, I feel I can pull back from it for a while to get more steps in.
I wouldn't trade strength training for more steps.
Definitely not.
Unless you like to walk more and you just want to get better at walking.
For enjoyment.
Yeah, but I wouldn't trade. I wouldn't trade them. The strength training is going to give you more results.
Does it need to be an either or? Can it, because I would love, I love you following a MAPS anabolic type of protocol, right? 3 days of full body routine. I love what you're doing there. And instead of saying, hey, should I cut one day out and then just go for longer walks? I mean, can you still walk that day for 20 minutes here or there? Like there's just too much, people think like the workout, right? Of lifting weights. If you compared your full day of walking, like you said, to a day of lifting weights, if you compare to the calories you burn in comparing the two, sure, the lifting weight session is less in calories than, 10,000 steps of walking. But it pales into comparison of what you get benefit-wise for building muscle and the recovery process and speeding the metabolism up. It's way.
Yeah, what are these long – what does it look like? 7,000 to 8,000 or 10,000 steps a day on the days you don't lift weights? Is that what you're saying?
So when I'm not lifting, I'm aiming for – well, every day I'm aiming for at least 10,000. But on the days that I've been lifting and working, I'm barely scraping 5,000 to 6,000. So I'm trying to make up.
Oh,
I get what you're saying.
Yeah, just that.
No, you're better with the lifting.
Yeah.
Don't trade them.
You're still better with the lifting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, my job is pretty active. I don't have a huge step count though. So, I mean, I'm getting plenty of movement at work.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about it. Like, okay, so when you think of steps or cardio, don't think in terms of fat loss. Just think in terms of health. It improves my health.
Okay.
When it comes to fat loss or getting lean, sculpted, the aesthetic type of stuff, strength training is the way to go. Now, that also improves your health too. So it's all good for you. But if you're trying to accelerate in terms of aesthetic results, strength training for walking will reduce that progress. Unless you hate the strength training, you love walking, which case I'd say go for it. But if it's just absolutely for the aesthetics, if it's for the aesthetics, don't trade them.
No.
Definitely not.
Okay.
And you can also, where are you at calorie-wise? Are you tracking calories? Do you know how many you're eating a day?
I do, yeah. So my coach has got me on a range between 1750 and 1900.
Okay. How long you been
at the moment?
How long you been doing that for?
So I'm just going into my third week with her.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and you're reverse dieting, right?
No, the other way.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Are you increasing calories over time or are you reducing calories right
increasing.
Now?
We're reducing.
Okay. Oh, you're already in a cut.
Yeah, she's in a cut right now.
Yeah.
But she's only been doing that for 3 weeks and she's only got, would you say, 3 to 5 kilograms, something like that?
Sounds like 7-8 pounds.
Seven, 10 pounds. Yeah. You're not
a huge amount, but I'm not losing for aesthetic purposes. I've got some pull-up and push-up goals in mind for the end of the year. And I figure being a bit lighter might help with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, for sure.
Do you have a bike, a treadmill, stair, anything like that access to but at your house?
A bike over here and a treadmill over here.
Okay, so you know, you're close enough to your goal, right? Of like seven, when I'm at the last like 5 to 10 pounds to drop, post workout, 12 minutes of HIIT cardio afterwards.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, I would only do that when I start to see the progress stall from the calories, right? So I always want to manipulate calories first. So if I feel like, oh, I'm leaning out, and then what you'll see is when you're at that calorie intake, your progress will start to stall. Yeah. And then I have two options. I can either create more movement and calorie burn, which would be the HIIT cardio, or I can reduce calories. When I get a client who's starting to get close to that 1500 calorie for a female range, that's about as low as I ever really want to push somebody. So in this case, I would probably go, okay, let's add, you know, a day or two of 12 minute of HIIT cardio post-workout and see what that does.
Okay. Yeah.
That should help.
That sounds good.
That should help accelerate.
Yeah, I like your goals, by the way. I like the way that you've positioned your goals, and I like the way you train. I think you're doing the right way. For
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. You're right there. You're right there.
Thanks. I've been listening to you guys for a few years now, so you guys have definitely helped me navigate the best way, the most healthy way to get to my goals. So thank you.
That's awesome. And then you said you have an active job, but you don't do a lot of steps. What kind, do you mind if I ask what kind of work you do?
Sure. I'm a painter and decorator. I've got two jobs, actually. So I decorate Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then I PT Monday and Tuesday. Monday and Friday.
Okay, yeah, you got. Yeah, your activity's good.
Yeah.
Your activity's fine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Yeah. No, you're on your right. You're on the right track for sure.
Yep.
Okay. Cool. Thank you.
You got it. Thanks.
You know when you're asking about and you're thinking all these things and they just go through your head and I thought I know I'm going to ask the mind pump guys.
Yeah. 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 No, you're doing great.
Thank you so much.
Stay the course.
Thank you.
All right, Becky.
All right. Cheers, guys.
Bye bye. Yeah. For people listening, when it comes to fat loss. So long as it's appropriate. Okay. So that's the context here. Trading strength training for cardio is not a more effective way
to
burn body fat.
Definitely not.
It's a less effective way to burn. Yeah. In fact, I typically would take people and do the opposite when people would hire me, as I'd look at their routine and say, oh, we're going to take some of that cardio out and add more strength training to get, you know,
better. You want to maintain the whatever lean muscle mass you have.
And you rarely hear us recommend cardio for fat loss, but she's 3 kilograms.
She's close.
She's so close.
Yeah.
And she's trying to, and I could tell she's limited with time, right? She was to the point where she's thinking, should I trade my lifting for more walking? No, I wouldn't do that. But a 12-minute HIIT session, and this is actually how I would introduce it for competing, right? So
it's like, what, 3-4 weeks, and then you get some?
Yeah, when I get down to the last 3 weeks before a show, and I'm down to the last 5 to 10 pounds I need to lean out, and I have done no cardio up until this point, the first thing I do is I add 12 minutes post-workout. So post-workout, at the end of every workout, I finish it with 12 minutes of HIIT cardio on elliptical or Stairmaster, whatever, it doesn't matter. And then I would, that normally the next week or two, that would actually kickstart, accelerate the fat loss a little bit more. And then only if that stalled before the show would I add any more of like steady state outside of that. But a lot of times that would be enough to get me ready for the show.
Speaking of fat loss, we have a free fat loss guide. You can get it at mindpumpfree.com. You can also find us on social media. Justin is on Instagram at Mind Pump Justin. I'm on Instagram at Mind Pump DeStefano, and Adam is on Instagram at Mind Pump Adam.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic. 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.